Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. 9 years ago, Baltimore native Matthew Van Dyke bought a motorcycle and a video camera and traveled across North Africa and the Middle East. It was what he described as a crash course in manhood. During the trip, he struck up a friendship with a Libyan man named Nuri, and when revolution broke out in his new friend's country, Van Dyke joined the rebel fighters and documented the war against Muammar Gaddafi with a gun in one hand and a camera in the other. He was captured by Gaddafi's forces and spent more than 5 months in solitary confinement. Van Dyke's story is the subject of filmmaker Marshall Curry's new documentary Point and Shoot. Curry is a two-time Academy Award-nominated documentary filmmaker. His earlier films include Racing Dreams and If a Tree Falls, a story of the Earth Liberation Front. Point and Shoot was released last year, was awarded Best Documentary Feature at the Tribeca Film Festival. It airs on Monday on SDPB-TV as a part of the PBS POV series, and Marshall Curry joins us on the line. And Marshall, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, why did you think that Matthew Van Dyke's story would make a good subject for a documentary?
Well, I mean, the story itself on the face of it is pretty extraordinary. I had not heard it, but got an email from him one day out of the blue, and he said that he had returned from Libya and had, you know, been over there fighting with the rebels and had footage of it, and had footage of this incredible backstory, a 35,000-mile motorcycle trip through northern Africa and the Middle East, and that I think it might make an interesting documentary. And so I thought it might. And so he came to New York and met with my wife, who's a producer on the film, and me, and he just told us his story. And we listened for, you know, a number of hours. And after he left, we couldn't stop talking about it. You know, we just, it raised so many questions about manhood and how we define manhood, and about war and the way that we use cameras to you know, shape and tell our stories. And so I thought, you know what, maybe I can just make a film that reproduces that experience where you just sit down with an amazing person and hear him tell his story.
How often do you get people coming up to you or sending you emails, contacting you and saying, hey, maybe you should do a documentary about me?
I get it fairly often, you know, maybe once a week. I get an email from somebody saying something like that, but it's rare that it's a story as incredible as Matt's was, and it's also rare that it comes packaged with you know, over 100 hours of footage that, you know, really takes you behind the scenes in an Arab civil war, you know, something that not a lot of Americans have seen before.
So what was it that drove Matthew Van Dyke to just more or less just leave and go off on this motorcycle trip? And plus, we should mention, this is a guy with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right. And to be clear, the obsessive compulsive disorder that he has is not, you know, the same as, you know, I like to keep my desk neat, and sometimes I say, oh, I'm very OCD. But what he has is a very, you know, serious kind of clinical OCD where he, you know, can't be around trash cans because they cause him anxiety. And if sugar touches him, he feels like he's been contaminated. And he can't drive a car because, you know, as he's driving, if he hits a bump 20 minutes down the road, he'll start to think, oh, maybe I hit somebody. And he can't get this thought out of his head, so he'll have to turn around and go back. So so it was a real serious challenge for him. And he had grown up, as he explained it to me, the only child of an only child of an only child, and was very coddled in Baltimore, lived in his, you know, mother and grandmother's basement while he was in college, and, you know, would play video games. And when he graduated from Georgetown, where he got a master's degree, he realized that he'd just not really done anything with his life. And he had these big dreams for what he wanted to be and who he wanted to be, but he'd never done anything. And so he said, I decided to take a crash course in manhood. And he bought a motorcycle and a video camera and just set off on this this journey where he was having an adventure but also trying to make a film about his adventure. That was from the very beginning part of what his plan was to kind of capture this story and maybe to make himself into a braver and, you know, more confident version of himself.
Now, he didn't make the film with this out of his footage, but you did. I mean, what was it that he just didn't have the ability, or was it just that, what was the problem there that he didn't make the film, but you ended up doing that?
Well, you know, when he first approached me, actually, he said, oh, maybe we could collaborate on a movie, and I said, well, I'm only interested in making documentaries where I have 100% creative control and influence, you know, and independence, and so if you want to make a film, if you want to direct a film, I'll be happy to give you advice and give you notes, something I do a lot of times with, you know, young first-time filmmakers. And I think he went away and thought about it. And at the same time, he was also, I think, pitching other documentary filmmakers. And to be perfectly honest, it's very, very hard to make up a documentary film. And I think he had edited some of the stuff together and had a sense of that. And so anyway, he went away for a little while and then finally came back and said, okay, you know, you can have creative control and make the movie how you want to make it. I think for him it was a combination of the challenge of making a feature film, and also he had other things that he was interested in doing. You know, he is very involved in trying to foment revolution in the Arab world. So he was spending time in Syria and now has been spending time in Iraq. So I think, you know, sitting down and spending a year editing a film maybe wasn't what he really wanted to be doing either.
How difficult was it for you, Marshall Curry, to go through the hundreds of hours of footage and boil it down to a documentary, a film-length documentary?
Well, it's always hard. I mean, my first film, Street Fight, was I shot about 200 hours, and Racing Dreams was probably 500. So it's not unusual for me to be editing from a huge amount of footage. I think the challenge in this case is that I hadn't shot most of this footage. So, usually when I'm shooting, I'm kind of editing in my head at the same time. I know what story I want to tell. I know how I want to just structure a scene. So I get the right combination of wide shots and close-ups and cutaways and all the things that I know I'm going to need when I'm editing. And in this case, Matt had his own vision for what he was shooting. And so that presented a challenge just to try to make it kind of coherent and feel like a movie. But I certainly can't complain. It's got some extraordinary footage, and I didn't have to go and spend, you know, years in that part of the, you know, dangerous part of the world in the middle of a war to get it. So I'm definitely indebted to him for that.
So his the footage that he took was pretty good. I'm wondering, even watching the documentary, it seems like he gets better and better as it goes on.
I think that's right. And you know, the one thing that I always tell myself when I'm shooting is all you need is 85 minutes. So you can shoot 100 hours of footage, and most of it doesn't need to be good. But as long as you've got, you know, those 90 minutes that are good, then you're good. And yeah, I mean, his shooting definitely got better, and his equipment got better. You know, in the beginning, when he delivered all this footage to me, it was this kind of hodgepodge of videotapes and different formats. Some of them were on digital files, some of them were structured, you know, different types of codecs, and so putting all of that together and just making it readable by our editing software was kind of the first step. But there's amazing stuff in there. I mean, he's in the middle of gunfights, and he's the truth is, though, that it's less a movie about that war. I mean, it is, but to me, it's a movie about a young guy kind of coming of age or struggling to come of age and to kind of create an image for himself using his footage. And I loved when I watched the footage how kind of revealing it was about that process. And, you know, we kind of pull back the curtain on the filmmaking process a little bit in the footage that we're watching. And so you see him setting up shots, and I talked to him about that process of setting up shots and you know, trying to be authentic in a moment, but at the same time to be outside of that moment and capture it on camera, which is a challenge that traditionally has been a challenge for documentary filmmakers. Now it's actually a challenge for everybody who has a cell phone camera. And I bet everybody's been in the situation, you know, at a birthday party where they're wondering, should I be taking photographs of this birthday party or should I just be at the birthday party? And in Matt's situation, he's having these struggles, but in the middle of an extreme situation.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with filmmaker Marshall Curry about his documentary Point and Shoot. It was awarded Best Documentary Feature at the Tribeca Film Festival, and it airs on Monday on SDPB-TV as a part of the PBS POV series. And this is a documentary about Matthew Van Dyke, who bought a motorcycle, a video camera, and traveled across North Africa and Middle East, and ended up joining the Libyan fighters who were fighting against Muammar Gaddafi. And Marshall Curry, Matthew Van Dyke was on our program Dakota Midday a couple of days ago, and he was a bit critical of the end results. He said it was stressful. The whole process was stressful. He said he was kind of disappointed, and he said that there were some scripted lines that he was uncomfortable with, said that moved around the audio about his girlfriend, some things that his girlfriend said after he returned to Libya after being in prison for a while. How do you take his criticism of the end result of Point and Shoot?
Well, I mean, he's a complicated guy, and you know, part of the time he presents the film as if he, you know, made it himself. And when the film won Best Documentary at Tribeca, he would book himself on you know, interviews where he would not mention that somebody else had actually directed and edited and raised all the money and basically made the film. So some of the time I think he's very proud of it. Then I think what happens is that some of the reviews have been a little hard on him. And I, you know, even reviews that are positive about the movie, some of them have been very critical of him. And I think that that, you know, makes him defensive. And so he has reacted by saying, oh, some of this stuff isn't right, some of these things aren't true. But it's, that's what he's saying is not correct. I mean, I've heard him claim that the line Crash Course in Manhood was something that I had scripted. But you can just Google that phrase and you'll see that he used it in interviews long before I met him. I mean, it was not something that I'd made up. And the thing about his girlfriend is also a strange one for me. He, you know, during my interview with Lauren, she said that when she was in prison, she'd been very worried about him. And I thought she said it in a way that was emotional and good. So I thought it might work in a section where she was describing being worried about him after prison while he was fighting. So I asked her, I actually asked her and Matt, whether there was any problem with that. Was she worried then too? And would it be an accurate indication to use it in this other section? And they both said it was fine. And now he's kind of using it as an example of, you know, editing out of context. And I'm sympathetic to his feelings of, you know, when he's criticized in a review, but I think he's just embarrassed by some of the things that, you know, he said or did, and is now trying to say that they're my creation.
Well, I like you said, that's understandable because this is a very, very personal film. I mean, you really delve into him and his motivations, and he's very honest with himself too in the film. I mean, he's very honest about, you know, what are my motivations? Why am I doing this? Why am I going, first of all, on this trip across the Middle East and Northern Africa? And then when he's with the rebel fighters in Libya, why am I doing this? What does this mean?
Right. And that was honestly what attracted me so much to him and to his story in the first place, is that he was willing to tell these stories that were honest and that dug deep into motivations. And, you know, so that was what made me think, oh, this is going to be an interesting story. And I'm frankly very proud of the movie, and I feel like he should be happy and proud of the movie too. I think that it's just that when you read somebody who's critical of you when you've been vulnerable, then it makes you defensive. And that's, you know, the situation that he's in right now.
For you in putting this film together, did you go through different emotions from seeing the war battle footage and then working with Matthew Van Dyke on the film?
Yeah, so, you know, the footage, some of it is very hard to watch. And a lot of that I didn't even include in the final movie. I mean, there's you know, terrible footage from the war. And the balance that I tried to draw in that footage was to kind of have enough to remind the audience that this isn't a Hollywood action movie. I mean, much of the movie is adventurous and it's exciting, and it's about the way, you know, it's explicitly about the way that we love these Hollywood movies and they influence the way that we live our lives. But this is a real war. It's not a Hollywood movie. And I felt like we needed to show enough to remind people that there are real people who really suffer in a war. But I was also sensitive to the fact that, you know, I don't want to exploit or sensationalize, you know, people suffering in blood and gore. So, you know, I left a lot of the graphic stuff on the cutting room floor and just tried to hint at it enough to remind people that it's real.
Now, the big themes here, I think, manhood and war and being in battle. And what do you see this? Do you see that there's maybe an overarching theme to point and shoot?
Yeah, I think there are a few themes, but yes, the way that we chase adulthood, the way that we define manhood, are open questions to me. And I think this notion of how we use cameras and social media today, even in the middle of a war, is one that the movie asks, you know, subtly over and over and over. Some of the most remarkable footage I saw was the way that soldiers, even in the middle of dangerous situations, were constantly aware of their images. And so we see one scene where American soldiers in the Middle East are about to do in the middle of a raid, basically, and Matt is filming them, and they're saying to him, okay, you ready? You got the shot? Because we're about to kick the door in. And he's, you know, yeah, okay. And then they go, and they put their foot on the door, and they say, okay, wait, let us reshoot that. And it's amazing to think that these guys are actually soldiers in a real war zone, and yet they really want to appear to a camera like they're Hollywood versions of soldiers in a war zone. And it's not just the American soldiers. I mean, you see the Libyan rebels as well. There's scene after scene after scene of them in the middle of gunfights spraying machine gun fire and so other rebels filming them, dozens of rebels filming each other with cell phone cameras so that they can put it on Facebook and send it out on Twitter and send it to their girlfriends and their family of these shots of themselves with these big guns in these action moments. And you know, Matt does it and I do it, not in war, but you know, when I'm trying to decide what I'm going to take a picture of and what I'm going to post on Facebook, it does make us self-conscious and aware of how we're being presented to the world. And so that to me is the other big kind of question and theme of the movie is how social media has infected all of our lives.
Marshall Curry is director of the documentary Point and Shoot. It airs on Monday at 9 Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB-TV as a part of the PBS POV series. And Marshall, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.